Morning. There's good fishing out here somewhere, isn't there? Oh, I'm in the wrong place, huh? Yeah. Well, why am I dressed like this? Why do I have all this gear? Well, I remember when my dad first took me fishing, and he wakes me up real early in the morning, of course, to go out because we're going to catch some big fish that day, and got dressed the part, and went out into the mountains somewhere and found a nice stream, which he said was loaded with fish, big fish, he told me. And I remember as a kid, just with great anticipation, because I looked the part. I had my pole, I had my fishing gear, I was ready to go, or so I thought. But what I realized pretty quickly as a kid is that I didn't really know much about fishing. And although I kind of looked the part and thought I was on a fishing trip, my life, my experience that day was filled with frustration. I was frustrated. Why was I frustrated? Because I didn't know what I was doing. How many have ever been there? Maybe not with fishing, maybe with something else. Where although you've shown up, you looked the part, things just don't go your way. That day I cast my line and sure enough I felt this tug. And as I tried to reel it in, I thought I had the big one. But instead I think I had a branch at the bottom of the creek. And so my line, as I was reeling it in, just snapped. And now I didn't have a hook. I didn't have a lot of the things I need to go fishing. And so I spent the next hour poking myself with hooks in the finger, trying to get the bait back on the hook and throwing it back in only to encounter the same frustration over and over again. I hated my father that day because he told me that he was going to take me fishing. And I was excited to spend the day with him fishing. But it didn't end up that way. I didn't feel like I was really fishing. I felt like I was just frustrated. Well, maybe you're here today and you've responded to Jesus' call to come and follow him. This used to fit me. I don't know what happened. Maybe you're here today and you've responded to Jesus' call. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said these words. He said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He didn't say, "I might make you." He didn't say, "There's an option. If you follow me, you can become a fisher of men." He said, "No, if you follow me, I'm going to make you, I will make you a fisher of men." And maybe you've gotten to a place where you've chosen to follow Jesus. And you've realized that with following Jesus comes the responsibility to be his ambassador, his representative in the world. And maybe you've even tried to share your faith, share the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done on the cross with others in your life and in your world. And you've encountered, like I did that day fishing, you've encountered frustration. You've encountered poor results, if you will. And you end up kind of giving up and going, well, maybe you question one of two things. Maybe I'm not one of Jesus' followers. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I haven't truly his follower. Because he said that if I follow him, he's going to make me a fisher of men. Or maybe you're like, well, I know I'm following him, but the whole fishing thing, it's just not for me. And you've dismissed a whole part of the reason Jesus has called you into his family. And you've kind of said, I love the fellowship and the worship and the good things that come with being a part of the church family and church life. But the whole representing him out in this world and trying to share faith in Jesus and being someone who fishes for men, well, that isn't for me. Well, I'm here with good news this morning because I'm going to encourage you in the Word of God this morning. Because God did not call us to something that he did not equip us for. Amen? And so in his Word, we're in Colossians chapter 4. And I'd like you guys, if you'd be willing to join me there, Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 2, we're picking up our series in the book of Colossians. And we've been diving through this book because this book is all about equipping. Equipping us, God's people, God's church, so that we can carry out the mission that Jesus has left for us here on earth. And so we're in chapter 4, verse 2. And I entitled this sermon this morning, A How-To Guide for Fishing. Because I believe that in this small text, we're just going to look at verses 2 through 6 this morning. In this small set of verses, we get a clear outline for how we can fish well. How we can fish well. How I wish my father would have had better advice for me that day out at the creek. To be honest, he wasn't a good fisherman either. I think I spent many a day with him, and he maybe caught one fish here or there. He really wasn't that great a fisherman. But Jesus was a great fisherman. And the Apostle Paul, who writes these words, was one of the greatest fisher of men who ever lived. His whole life was dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around him. And he brought in a great harvest of fish. Many lives were changed and transformed through the good news of what Jesus had done for them. And they came into the family of God. So I want to listen to good fishermen. Amen? I want to listen to those who have the experience needed and the track record to show that they've done it well. And we have the privilege today to open up the Word of God that's been preserved for us to speak to us here today and hear from the Apostle Paul in his own words. Let's read verses 2 through 6 together. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the message, to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your words this morning. I thank you for the encouragement that you're going to give us this morning to carry out one of the most important things that you've left for us to do here on this earth. And that is to reach out with our lives and see others become rescued, delivered, captured, if you will, by the glory of who you are and all that you've done for them. God, help us be good fishers of men. Help us be committed to it, be equipped for it, and to carry it out each and every day as you give us opportunity. And God, we just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. How can we fish well? How can you fish well? Number one, fill your life with prayer. Fill your life with prayer. See, nothing happens without God first moving and working. Amen? It can't be you and I's responsibility to save this world. Can it?
No.
Can you change the heart of someone around you? Can't do it. Can't change the heart, right? Only God works to will and to do to change the internal mechanism that will be receptive to what you have to share. Where can you ask God to change someone's heart? In prayer. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I skip over this step too often. And I begin to think that with my own savvy ability to argue somebody into submission, or with my own brilliance of mind and my own, like, look how good I look. I mean, people will follow me, right? That you get arrogant, maybe you think like too highly of yourself at times, or your knowledge of God's word, maybe. Or maybe, like some others, you just feel insecure and you feel like, I don't even know where to start. And so you never even take step one. Well, step one is something that we can all take. It's to go to God in prayer. When's the last time, I want you to think about this, when's the last time that you prayed for someone, maybe a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor, maybe an enemy? You prayed for someone to have their eyes opened to the good news of Jesus. I know I can be guilty of forgetting to do that. I can be guilty of neglecting this first step in fishing. And we as a church have to be faithful in prayer. Amen? We in church have to be willing to say, God, you're in control of changing people's hearts, and I want to see that happen in my circles and in my world. The first step is prayer. Fill your life with prayer. God's called us to be faithful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. This is a verse that if you've never memorized any other verse in the Bible, let me encourage you, you can memorize this one. Okay? What does it say, Sharon? No, that's some other version. There's only two words in my version. There you go. Pray constantly or pray continually. Right? She had a really long version with three words in it. I don't want you to have to work on three words. The Holman Christian Standard version of the Bible says, pray constantly. You can remember that, amen? That's a verse. That's a verse in the Bible that we should memorize, that we should be committed to. What does that mean? Does that mean that you got to be on your hands and knees, bowing before the Lord at all times, even when you're driving? I hope not. I don't want to know that driver, right? It means that we're supposed to have a constant dialogue with our Creator. It means that we can pray in our spirit, amen? We can be praying no matter what we're going through in our day and in our life. I'll be honest, formal prayer is important. It's a focus time for prayer. But just as important is conversational prayer, right? Think about this. When you're on a date with a loved one, are there times where you like just having that focused time of dialogue? Imagine that's the only time you talk to your spouse, is during those date nights. What would life be like? It'd be very frustrating, would it not? Communication needs to be ongoing. There's and you know what? Our lives are busy. We're doing a lot of things in life, and we have to constantly be talking to one another in order to coordinate things, in order to make sure we're on the same page. It's the same with God. God invites us to prayer. The cool thing is he's open 24/7, right? He doesn't sleep or slumber like we have to, right? So he is open for a conversation with us. He's paved the way. The Bible says that Jesus, after providing purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father in majesty. And he sits there to intercede. He is the go-between, the mediator between God and man. He has opened the door. We have a great high priest, amen, who has created an avenue for us to go to the Father. Sometimes I don't even contemplate how amazing the Father God is. Can you imagine? He spoke words and everything we know was spoke into existence. That is mind-blowing, that kind of power. And that same power is available for us who believe, who receive, who go to him in prayer. We need to be faithful in prayer. Before we ever fish, we should pray. We need to be watchful in prayer. The Bible tells us that we need to stay alert. In Colossians 2, verse 2, it says, stay alert in it. Stay alert in it. What does that mean? That means we're to be anticipating God's response. God doesn't want us to pray so that he can go, well, that was nice. Isn't that nice? Right? The church, isn't that nice? That's the church lady from Saturday Night Live. That was my bad impression. But seriously, God doesn't want us to just pray. He wants to speak back into our lives. He wants to answer us according to his will. Amen? The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. The Bible says, up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to understand that he loves us. He wants to give good things to us. We have to ask him for it. And we have to stay alert and watchful for his response. There's another thing we need to watch out for as we pray. We need to watch out that the enemy, the devil, does not start to mess with us. Because he'll sow seeds of doubt. See, God isn't really up there listening. You're speaking to the ceiling, you fool. He'll whisper doubt into our minds. He'll whisper fear. He'll whisper, you're not good enough. What are you doing trying to ask something of God? Look at what a mess your life is. You're not worthy. He'll whisper all those things into our ears. And we need to rebuke him with the blood of Jesus, amen? You've been washed clean. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to claim the promises of God, the reality, and tell the devil to take a hike. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant. I always like to say, be aware, look out, watch out, because your enemy, the devil, is on the prowl. And he's seeking all those who he may devour. So we need to be alert in our prayers. The devil is trying to mess us up. He's trying to derail what God wants to have done through this time of prayer. So be alert. Be faithful and be watchful. The third thing is to be thankful in prayer. You see it there in Colossians 2:2. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition. Through how much, church? But in what? In all things, in everything. Let's go to God in prayer. Whether or not somebody needs to receive Jesus in your life, that's a thing that's important, right? We need to go to that. We need to go to God in prayer for over that issue. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It goes on to say the peace of God will come and it'll fill our hearts and minds. As we speak to God, God gives us peace, reassurance that he's got things under control. You're like, God, but my relative, man, they've been living outside of you for like 20 years. I don't think it's ever going to happen. God says, stay faithful. Stay thankful. I got this under control. We need to trust him. The God who put everything into motion, who set everything like clockwork, amazing, the eclipses that happen, all the neat things that happen here on this earth, all these things God just blink of the eye did. He can handle our request. We got to trust him with things. We got to stay patient and thankful. You know, too often I find myself asking God for things without first thanking him for what he's already done. Is that you? God says we need to remain thankful in our attitudes in prayer. And finally, we're to remain purposeful in prayer. Listen to the way it says in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, it says this. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open a door to us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison. We're to pray for things specifically and purposefully. Is God concerned about the plight of our world? About that neighbor next to you who doesn't know him? He is, right? It says that God's heart is this. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all may come to repentance and a knowledge of the truth. How are they going to come to repentance and a knowledge of the truth? Well, repentance is going to happen in the heart. And we have to pray for that to happen, that they turn away from their selfish ways and they're open to receive Jesus. A knowledge of the truth is going to happen through your life and through your testimony to them. Their eyes are going to be open to the truth of who Jesus is, and they can be able to respond. That's God's heart. We know His will. We need to pray on purpose. If you want to know how to pray, good news, Jesus gave us an example of how to pray. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. It's also found in Luke. This is what it says. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Some versions say, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should always be thinking about God, your will is more important than mine. I want a Lamborghini, just like everybody else, but that may not be God's will for my life. He may know that I might take that Lamborghini and forget all about him because I'm having such a blast, or I may wrap it around a pole and kill myself because I'm an idiot when I drive. Either way, he knows better than me. So we shouldn't ask selfishly. We got to ask within his will. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray on purpose. Amen. Let's pray for things that are important to God's heart and not just our own little selfish agenda. If you want your neighbor to be saved and you think that's selfish, you're wrong. That's on God's list. God wants all men to be saved. Amen? So pray. Ask God to open that person's heart to the truth of the gospel. So we are to fill our life with prayer. The second thing that we see here in Colossians, how we can fish well, is to invest your time wisely. How many realize that every day, all of us in this room are given the same thing? You know what we're given? 24 hours. 24 hours. Every day you wake up, 24 hours, unless today's the day that you're going home with Jesus, right? But most days, 24 hours, we're all given. I don't have the same bank account as some of you. I don't have the same abilities as some of you, but I do have the same amount of time as all of you. And we all choose how we're going to invest it. Amen? How should we invest our time? Let me suggest to you that we need to do it wisely, not foolishly. What's the difference? Let's look at this. Colossians chapter 4 again. Verse 5, act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Making the most of the time. We have to invest in things that matter for eternity. Amen? Now, like anyone else, I enjoy a good hobby, a good thing that's just, you know, get my mind off things and go out and have fun, right? I'm sure we all have those things. But let's not fill our lives with that and neglect the things that are most important. And that's people. We need to be investing in people, relationships. Starts in the home. Don't neglect that and say, well, I'm going to go witness to everybody and I'm never going to talk to my wife and kids. That is bad. That's not what God wants you to do. Because you have a ministry in your home. That's where it starts. Once you start doing well in the home and you're ministering well, I'm sure your wife or your husband and your children will support you in ministering beyond that walls, right? But don't be a hypocrite and say, well, I'm doing stuff for Jesus, and you're neglecting the most important responsibilities that he's given you in the home. Don't do that. Making the most of every opportunity. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Pay careful attention then to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let me suggest, to understand God's will, you need to be reading this. This is his manual for understanding what he wants us to be doing. If we neglect this, we're going to be off track and we're going to be living foolishly. So don't neglect this. Start with this and end with this each and every day. James 3, verse 13 says, "Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct and with wisdom's gentleness." You want to know how to live in this world? Good conduct and wisdom's gentleness. If you're going to interact with people on the outside, good conduct, wisdom's gentleness. Literally, Christ, who is known as wisdom, speak with his heart to people. If we do that, we're going to be investing our time wisely and interacting with the world around us the way God wants us to. Amen? Number three, we are to speak his truth in love. Look at verse 6 of Colossians, the first part. "Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt." Let me suggest that we don't have to compromise, but not compromising does not have to equal being callous and cold towards those around us. Here's what, unfortunately, Christians are known by. "I can't do that. No to this, no to that. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong." That isn't what we should be known for. We should be known for truth and love. Amen? Too often we're just known for truth. Sometimes we have no truth and we're known for this imitation that we pass off as love. We need to have a balance of truth and love. Grace towards those who need to hear it. Amen? Stop saying don't, no, no, no. Start saying what you stand for in a gracious manner, in a loving manner. That's important. We can have conversations and dialogue with people in this world that have a whole different set of value systems without being callous and cold towards them. And we can still hold the line when it comes to godly living. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. This is the heart of Jesus. "When he," speaking of Jesus, "saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them." He didn't feel judgment for them. He didn't feel condemnation for them. He didn't feel, "I'm better than them." He felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out. How many know somebody weary and worn out in your life apart from Jesus? Anybody know people like that? Those are the people who need you. They need you to be praying, investing. They need you to be speaking truth in love into their life. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, even Christ." Let's speak his truth in love. Amen? As a church, let's represent him well. So Jesus has called us to fish. There's no doubt about it. Jesus wants fishermen and women. Amen? If you've chosen to follow him this morning, you are a fisherman. You are a fisher of men. Amen? Amen. So let's think about, have you ever seen Alaska's Deadliest Catch? They're on that boat, and it's like crazy, and the waves are tossing, and they're trying to reel in the haul. Well, sometimes it feels like that in our lives, right, as we try and represent Jesus. It's not always peaceful, and we can all walk on water. There's tumultuous seas out there. We make mistakes. But let us quickly get back to what we should be doing. Let us ask God for forgiveness in the mistakes we've made. Does he grant us forgiveness? Unlimited? It's unlimited. He's already forgiven you. Sometimes you just got to forgive yourself. Jesus called us to fish. He wants us to be prepared to fish well. So he's asked us to fill our lives with prayer, to invest our time wisely, to speak his truth in love. And finally, have your answer ready. This is so important. This is the preparation part. Right? It'd be like if I showed up to a fishing thing and I didn't have a pole, I didn't have anything to reel in the fish, people would call me a fool. What are you doing? Are you going to try and catch them with your hands? Did you see in the hurricane, I think it was Harvey, there was a video that went viral about this guy who was in his house in Houston, And he was jumping into the water in his own living room and catching this fish. It was the craziest thing. You got to look that one up. He ended up grabbing the fish. I was amazed. He didn't even need a pole. But we need to be prepared. We need to have our answer ready. Verse 6, one more time, Colossians 2:6. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt. There's the truth and the love, all right? So that you may know how you should answer each person. There's the preparation. How should we answer each person? Now, here's the part that can be intimidating. Some of you guys are like, I don't know all the answers to all their questions. That's okay. Let them know that. It's okay. Say, you know what? That's a good question. Let me get back to you on that one. That's honest. Don't try and make stuff up. If you don't know it, go and seek the answer. You can come talk to any of the pastors. Sometimes I don't know things. I got to look things up. I got to seek counsel. But the truth won't hide from questions. The truth is not intimidated by questions. I sat across from this lawyer not too long ago. We were having lunch. He serves on the Carmichael soccer board with me. And he kind of understood that I'm a pastor, and he was really kind of like interested in just dialoguing with me. So we went out to lunch, and he grilled me for like a half an hour with every possible question you can think of. And it was tough. I don't think I was fully prepared for all that he threw at me, but there were times where I just had to tell him, like, honestly, Mike, that's a great question. Let me think about that. Let me get back to you. Right? It's okay. It's okay. But we do need to be prepared with something. So what should we be prepared with? How about this? Testify to what Jesus has done in your life. Can we all do that? That's your story. That's where God's story of redemption, that he loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He sent him to earth. He came, he lived the perfect life. He was the perfect substitutionary atonement for our sins. He was the substitute for our sins. He gave his life in place of you and me. What sin deserves is death. Jesus paid for it. All we have to do is receive that for ourselves. That's love. That's a gift. That's grace. He loves us. He died on the cross, but he did not stay dead. He proved that he was powerful. He was God. He rose from the dead 3 days later, and he still lives to intercede. Amen? And one day, and I pray one day soon, and if your name is Don Hirth, it's next week, right, Don? Don and I dialogue about these events, about just kind of trying to understand the times and the seasons God has told us about. And his return is drawing near. Amen? I really believe that. I really believe that. It could be any day. It really can. Testify to what Jesus has done in your life. Where does God's story intersect yours? We all can have a testimony. Sometimes leave it there. Let it sit in that person's mind and heart. Because that's real. There's nothing they can argue about. That's your life. That's your story. Right? No argument there. I've heard it said, share what you know about who you know. Amen? Maybe you just know a little bit. Jesus loved me. He saved me. I know he died on the cross. He rose again. I believe that. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. I surrendered my life over to him. He gave me great peace. Leave it there. That's your testimony. Share what you know about who you know. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense. Some other versions say an answer. To anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Is there hope in you today, church? I sure hope so. And that's not any kind of pun. I desire that our church be filled with hope. One of our mission statement imperatives is that we be a voice of hope. Are we living it out? Are we committed to fishing well? As you bow with me in prayer, would you consider these questions, these closing questions? These are personal questions just for you to answer between you and God this morning. The first question is this. Jesus has invited every one of us on this earth to come and to follow him. My question to you is, have you responded to that invitation? Maybe you're here and you've gone through a lot of motions. You've gone through a lot of religious activity, but you've never truly opened up your heart and said, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. Jesus loves you. Amen. I see your hands. Thank you. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. And if you've chosen to follow Jesus, the question is, are you a fisher of men? Because he says he will make you into a fisher of men. Are you allowing him to shape you and to mold you into being an effective witness ambassador for him? My question is this, where do you need to grow in order to fish well? Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's the way you're investing your time. Maybe it's the way you speak to others. Maybe it's being ready with an answer. Maybe it's all of the above. Wherever it is, be honest with God and ask him to help you in that area. We all need to grow. We all need to get better at being fishers of men. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are, that you're a God who reached out from heaven and reeled each one of our hearts in. God, that is so amazing that you loved us that much. You didn't have to, and yet you chose to. Your sacrifice is mind-blowing. Your heart for all of us wicked human beings is overwhelming. God, help us to have your heart towards others in our lives who are outside of knowing you. God, we thank you for your gift, and we ask that you move us to give to you this morning a portion of what you've already blessed us with. Thank you that we have the privilege to give to you, demonstrating that we trust you with one of the most hard things to trust you with, that's our money and our resources. God, we worship you in this way by giving you back a portion of what you first blessed us with. And God, we ask that you use those gifts to further your kingdom, to further your witness on this earth and in Carmichael and around the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.